This is Talking Business.
I'm joined now by Mark Thompson, who's the founder and managing director of Talga Resources Limited, which is a listed company. G'day, Mark.
Hi, Alan.
Now, before we're going to get on to what Talga does now, which is graphene and what graphene is and stuff, let's hear the story about you starting Talga and how you did that. Why?
Well, I'd actually been a prospector and self-taught geologist and paleontologist working on dinosaurs as well as gold for many years.
And when did you start doing that?
Oh, probably early 90s, late 80s.
How old were you?
Oh, I was sort of early 20s.
Yeah, right.
And
made you do that?
I was always interested in exploring and finding things.
I presume you were in the outback, were you?
I was born in the city. I was born in Perth, but I always had a rock collection as a kid, and I was always felt like I was supposed to be living in the bush. So in my early 20s, I packed up and went out to Kalgoorlie and started in the mining industry. And a few years later, left that and started my own business called Red Dog Prospecting. And created a business out of that, which took me prospecting all over the world, from Peru to Congo to, ultimately Sweden.
But what do you mean by prospecting? What does that mean?
Well, literally looking for minerals, but taking it all the way through to project development as well. So for me, being a professional prospector wasn't just about finding nuggets and finding some money.
That's what I mean. You weren't just panning for gold and then selling it.
Well, I was doing that, but I was also pegging leases and vending them to companies, which then would float them. And that's when I started seeing how public companies worked.
Well, so you were a bit of a lease trader as well.
Well, you do everything as a professional. So
right.
And you continue to grow, right? I don't just want to stay in the... Well, I don't mind staying in the bush. I didn't want to die there.
Red Dog Minerals, was it?
Red Dog Prospecting.
Red Dog Prospecting. Yeah. Did that grow to be an actual business?
It did. It was usually just myself, but working with contractors. But I worked for public companies all over the world, and eventually, then I came back to Australia to start a family, and rolled my essentially formed Talga from the gold projects of my own that were in Red Dog, and added some other gold projects and floated Talga in 2010.
But then you decided a couple of years later that gold's not where it's at, graphene is.
It actually was just over a year later, actually. We'd had some success in the gold discovery, but it just wasn't going as fast as I wanted, and I really wanted to...
You got impatient.
I did a bit, and also I actually don't like... You may enjoy the financial markets going up and down, but I just want them to keep going up in a way. And so I...
So do I, mate.
I took a punt that one of the things outside the market that was happening that was probably just going to continuously go up was lithium-ion batteries. And what I discovered was that graphite, there was 10 times more graphite than lithium in a lithium-ion battery. And at the time, everyone was looking at lithium and copper and all the other parts of a battery. But I then started to say, I don't think anyone's paying attention to graphite. And that was our opportunity to take Talga there.
Right. So what did you do?
I literally reviewed the entire world. I looked at the entire Earth's crust and looked at all the deposits far and away. I literally did. I went visiting places all over the world, from China, the largest maker of graphite, to even places like Eritrea in Northeast Africa. And the funny thing was I found the highest grade deposits I could that were mineable and these at scale. And these were in Sweden, in North Sweden, in the Arctic Circle. So that's where we went.
Right. And what, you bought them?
I did. They were owned by a company, quite a large company called Teck, which were one of the top 10 largest mining companies in the world.
And how many deposits are we talking about?
Well, we ended up with about 30 different graphite deposits, but one of them in particular was the highest grade, essentially has become the highest grade deposit or resource in the world. And it still is today, these years later. So we bought
it. It's cold there.
It's cold during winter. It can be warm during summer. It's cool all the time.
Right.
But there are large open-cut mines there. In fact, the largest open-cut iron ore and copper and gold mines in Europe are there.
Right.
Yeah, it's been supplying minerals for thousands of years down to the rest of the world.
So how much did you pay for these graphite deposits?
Well, it's a bit embarrassing to say now, but at the time, remember, post-GFC sort of world in 2011, mineral exploration was on its knees. So I managed to get their company that owned all their assets in Sweden for $500,000.
Right. So that was okay.
Someone likened it at the time that in the mineral industry, we're used to breadcrumbs falling off the table from major companies to junior companies. In this case, someone suggested it was the entire loaf.
Right. So what do you think it's worth now?
Well, the company's got a market cap of about $150 million. and we're growing fast. I, of course, personally think it's worth billions. That's where we're going. We've been doubling each of the last couple of years. But yeah, we've got a collection of not only mineral resources, but now we've added on technology. We actually can make our own battery materials, and we make our own this wonder material called graphene. So we looks like we're playing a major role in the world of lighter, stronger, sort of faster materials.
But the so are you a graphite company or a graphene company?
Well, they're both one and the same. Graphite is sort of made from graphene. So if you can liberate the graphene layers from the graphite rock in a really efficient, large volume way.
Did you mean to say that graphene is made from graphite?
No, the other way around. Graphite is made from graphene.
Right.
Yeah, so graphene are like the individual atomic layers that when they stack up enough, they form what you would call graphite.
Oh, I see, right.
We've known graphite for 400 odd years. You know, it's in pencils and so forth. But we only realised that you could separate it down into individual atoms that still held together and had amazing properties. That's only happened in like the last 10 to 15 years.
So that's graphene?
That's graphene.
And so describe what it is.
Well, it's a like a flat layer of a hexagonal lattice of carbon atoms, which is the lightest.
Like chicken wire.
It's very much like chicken wire. Thank you very much. And if you imagine then.
You're welcome.
A single layer has these properties that are unique in the world. It's 200 times stronger than steel, weight for weight, things like that. If you pull it, it's flexible.
Could we have a sheet of graphene like on the table between us now, and could, if it was there, would we be able to see it?
It can be
given
made.
Given that it's an atom thick.
It can be made. You won't be able to see it if it's an atom thick. So it's about 97-98% transparent at one or two atoms thick.
Could you feel it? You wouldn't even feel it. No, it'd be an atom thick.
Yeah. You're talking about something that it would be one third of the length your fingernails grow in a day. It's a very, very thin amount. It's the equivalent of imagining you had a stack of cards the height of the Eiffel Tower of playing cards. It would be one of those cards.
Right.
There's all sorts of – it's difficult to analogize because nanomaterials are like that. It's a bit like talking about space. It's the opposite. You're talking about the super small, and it's very hard for people to –
Well, it's a long way from living out of your car in the outback of Western Australia.
You've got to be a learner. Got to be a learner, Alan. You've got to always be continuously learning and growing.
So aren't you – you're processing the stuff in Germany, is that right?
We've built a test. So we've come up with a special way to make it from the rock, where we run an electric current through the rock and the graphene actually pours out of the rock. So we think this can be the world's largest and lowest cost way of making graphene. And so to scale that process up, we've got a process facility and a test facility in the middle of Germany.
So is it a pilot plant or a lab plant?
We call it a test facility. It's like a pilot plant, but I guess what we're trying to do is kill two birds. We've got to scale up the process for full scale development for the future, but also the material that comes out of it, we can give that to customers or even sell it to customers and different groups.
So to develop. To be clear about it, you're making graphene.
Yep.
Which you can turn into graphite that goes into batteries.
The graphite for the batteries is a little thicker than the graphene. It's not just the graphene, it's the thicker materials. So I'll try and put it this way. You take a cubic meter of rock and a certain amount of it is going to be the graphene, which we can use in certain products. Some of it's going to be graphite, so thicker layers of graphene, so that's classified as graphite. That'll go into batteries and things like that. And then we also produce the so-called waste product, which is a silica-rich product, but it's very conductive, and we're putting that into concrete to make that conductive as well. So in that way, we're looking for 100% use of all the rock.
So the market for the graphite is clear. That's batteries.
Current market, yeah.
Current market. What about graphene? What's the market for that?
It's sort of split into, I guess, the current markets where it can replace carbon that's already in things like car tyres and things like that. Also, it can go into batteries. So there are current markets and then there's futuristic ones. For example, by the time this gets discussed, I guess we'll have announced some conductive concrete results. So why would you make concrete conductive? Well, then you can use it as a heating element. So is it a current market? Well, it's used to some degree, but only a very small amount. If you can make it in large, cheap quantities, you can have roads that can de-ice or de-snow without chemicals, so you can heat up the roads in the Northern Hemisphere. Or you could actually have potentially wireless charging cars driving down the road. So you have inductive charging cars, electric cars while driving. So they're future market. So what is the market? Well, the market's big. Can you quantify it? Well, no, it's a bit difficult, but I would suggest that it's worth doing.
Graphene is a highly conductive material, isn't it?
Superconductive, yeah.
Superconductive, yeah. More conductive than silver.
Yes, yes. It shares with silver the fact that silver is quite unique, actually, amongst the metals, and it's very conductive even when it's oxidized, which is why they use in solar panels. But it is expensive. So if you can replace that with graphene, which is a carbon, it also does not rust.
I thought graphene was pretty expensive too.
Well, for us, the costs are potentially much lower than silver, because you can use less amounts because it's more conductive than silver in certain applications.
Right.
Yeah.
So I presume Telga is entirely a graphite and graphene company now. You got rid of the gold parts of things?
The gold's all gone. And we also, in the transaction with Teck, we also ended up with the largest cobalt deposit in Sweden, which is of interest to batteries, because a lot of lithium ion batteries is cobalt. But we're just reviewing that to spin that off or to diversify from it. And in that graphite and graphene, we mine the material. We process it a different way, and we actually have a team that makes products. So we integrate with the end users on the chemistry of the products themselves. So we're a mine to market graphite and graphene company, or a specialist carbon company.
Well, and you've got your mines are in Sweden and your processing facilities in Germany. Why are you an Australian company?
Apart from
the fact that you're an Aussie.
We started here, and you can look at certain times going overseas onto different jurisdictions, but for the cost and for the quality and the way that the market works, most of our shareholders are here. The bulk of the larger shareholders are actually in Europe. They're Norwegian and UK-based. But right now it's functioning perfectly well. At a certain time, if there's a big enough catalyst, we'd look at other jurisdictions for listing, but right now it's fine.
Fascinating story, Mark. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to catch up finally.
I've been talking to Mark Thompson, who's the founder and CEO of Telga Resources.